Welcome to this next podcast of All or Nothing with Nicole and Heather. And I'm so glad that you're here with us. Today, we're going to be talking about confession. We're going to really get into it. We're going to talk about personal stories, stories that have happened, also what the church teaches and why the church teaches, how amazing confession is and all of that. We're going to get into everything. It's going to be an amazing podcast. Before we get started, I encourage you, if you would review it, that would be awesome. And follow us. That would be wonderful, so that we can, you know, spread the word of God to more people. So thank you so much for being here with us today, though. It is awesome to be on this podcast, especially with Nicole. And we're just going to share with you how to go to confession properly and all of the things. We're going to have so many great stories too. So how are you doing, Nicole?
Good. Great so far.
Good. So what are your thoughts on confession?
Well, I just thought that I'd start with a little bit of why we go to confession. Where did confession come from? A lot of people, especially if you're not Catholic, people think that this is sort of a man-made tradition, or that we've implemented that and that was not necessary. But actually, I just wanted to share, and I did make some notes, just because after the resurrection, Jesus actually appeared to the apostles and he said to them, "Whose sins you forgive are forgiven, and those sins that you retain are retained." And that's from John 20, verse 23. So right from then, Jesus said, even on the Last Supper, "Do this in memory of me." So he has kind of commanded them to continue with the church. So up until the 1500s, there was only the Catholic Church until the Reformation. And so in the early church, initially confession was public. So that, like, your people would confess their sins publicly because they recognized that sins not only hurt God, but the community of people, which is true. Our sins, there's a ripple effect, which we don't really think about. So that was the very early church after the resurrection. So the apostles actually went to confession. They practiced this from the early church fathers. So you can go back and look, like, in more detail. I'm not going to give tons of detail because this is a short podcast, but I just wanted to kind of give you the how it went with from Jesus saying that to the apostles, giving them permission to forgive sins, to the early church. And then it wasn't until the year between 200 and 258 that confession became private. So people started going to private confession. And then in the year 1215, the church declared it as a sacrament, and that's when it said that every Christian should confess to a priest at least once a year. So I just want to kind of start with that priests do not forgive sins. It's through Jesus. They are called persona Christi, which means in the place of Jesus. And I really believe that obviously Christ knew that we need community. We need people to get things off our chest. There's something different about you, like, asking God, and we should go do an examination of conscience every day where we're asking God for forgiveness in our day. But on our serious sins, when we forgive, just say you stole something, a TV from the store, and you just are like, God, forgive me. There's something like to be able to share that with someone, to get it off your chest, and then to hear the response, like, you are forgiven. It's just like there's something that God knew that we needed, that as human beings, to share secrets, to get that off of our chest. And just so you know, just confession, a priest cannot, there's a seal of confession, they cannot share your sins. So you're very safe there. So I just wanted to say that. And I wanted to also say that, so when the priest absolves you of this sin, he says, "I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." So he's absolving in the name of God on behalf of Christ. He's not saying, "I absolve you of your sins in the name of Father Joseph," right? So it is by God, his design, his plan, right from the beginning, right after the resurrection. So this has been continuing on through all generations since then. For over 2,000 years, this has been going on. So this is not a man-made Catholic thing. The church was Catholic from the beginning, and it only separated in 1500s. So yeah, it's just a tangible way to experience God's forgiveness, is to hear a priest say those things. We're going to get into much more of what that looks like and how to do it. But that the sacrament is a way to restore a relationship with God that's been broken by sin. So it's just a concrete restoration. So in summary, it's just the reason why we do this method is because it was given by Jesus himself to the apostles. So yeah, what like those are my kind of first, just a little overview of what confession is, where it came from, how long it's been going on, and what a gift it has been in my life. It is the sacrament of healing. It's not the sacrament of humiliation. And oftentimes we're so afraid because we have like that we're going to be either it's our pride because we don't want to share our sins and we care too much what people think of us, so maybe what the priest thinks of us, but it is so important to our happiness and our health, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. So those are my beginning thoughts, Heather. What do you want to share something?
You said it so well. I love that the church does this. I love that God gave us, like, it is truly a gift that we get to go to confession. It's so amazing. God is so merciful. He loves us so much. I remember for me, like, I grew up where it was normal. Like, we went to confession, a couple times, I don't know, a month. I would say every other month we'd go as a family. I thank God for that now because it's like not a big deal. And me and my family now, we try to do the first Saturdays. So even if we skip a month, we're like, okay, we're going to do it next month or whatever. But even after we do all the first Fridays, like, or Saturdays, I've done that. But that's where you pray the rosary, you go to confession, you go to mass. And I think you meditate on the mystery of the rosary for 20 minutes. And so as a family, we'll do that every first Saturday. So it's great because then we go once a month. I'm so glad because I want my kids to know it's not scary. It's like actually a beautiful thing. And you're fully clean when you come out. It's just like, it's amazing. It's such a gift because there's such a burden to have that sin, And I've heard of it said that it's pretty much like taking a shower. We all need to take showers after a while. Like, you start to smell and dirty and all that. So that's like the same thing with confession. And Mother Mary, I think it was through Fatima, she said to the children to go at least once a month, even though the church says, once a year is that's the precepts of the Catholic Church. So we as Catholics have to go once a year. Like, and so I think it can be any time. Maybe it's during Lent. Do you know by any chance if there's like a specific time?
No, I think it's just once a year.
Okay. So once a year, but Our Lady asks that we go at least once a month. And I think that that's pretty good. Even if you don't have like the mortal sins, like our venial sins are taken away at Mass through the Eucharist and through Mass. And so it is like the mortal sins, but also, I think it's so important, like just hearing it said out loud and hearing that we are forgiven is so powerful. And I think that was on purpose. God knew that we needed to hear those words because of our humanity. And like, are we forgiven? And now, like, after I go to confession, I sleep so well at night. Like, I'm just like, yep, if I die tonight, I'm good. It's such a blessing to be Catholic and confession. It's, I feel bad because I think so many people think it's really scary. But it's not like when you get into the rhythm and you try really hard not to sin, it's not scary. It's just beautiful. It is such a gift. God's mercy is so, so wonderful.
It's so true, Heather. And I just want to really some of you, if you're not Catholic or like what is a venial sin? So there's not all sins are equal, and it's actually scriptural. Like if you look at 1 John 5:15-18, it talks about how there's deadly sin and non-deadly sin. So there's serious sin, which is called mortal sin. So mortal sin, you have to have full knowledge that it's wrong, full consent that you're like, I don't care that it's wrong, I'm doing it anyway. And it has to be grave in nature. So if you consent to that, like you have cut off all the grace from God. He never turns from us, but we turn on him, and you must receive confession before you can receive the Eucharist. It's a very serious sin to receive the Eucharist in mortal sin, because the Eucharist is God, body, blood, soul, divinity coming into, if you're in a mortal sin, it's very serious sin, like you can't have Jesus come into that. So you have to go to confession for that. And also, so venial sins are still sins, but the grace of God can still flow. But as Heather said, if you ask for forgiveness, the Mass can take that away, and also like confessing that. But even Padre Pio was saying, like even for the venial sins, it's like sweeping out the closet, keeping the dust out, even if you're not in serious sin, because those little sins add up. And I know for me, I try to go more now, not because I think I'm holy, and I think this is the misconception, is that And I also have the opportunity because I don't have children and stuff, so I can go to mass more frequently and go to confession. But I'm aware of who I am, and so I start to get irritable and just sort of. And when I start getting that way, I know like my little venial sins are adding up, and I need to go to confession to kind of sweep that out. And it's true, I sleep so much better. I'm at peace and just sort of restating my relationship with God, just kind of like restoring that relationship, and gives me the grace to get over my sin, in a better way. So yeah, I think that's really important, and to not be afraid. And I know that's easier said than done. There's a couple of detailed examination of conscience, like PDFs that I use, and I use more than one because some of them will bring up other things. But write it down, like get a piece of paper. At least that's what I do. And you don't need to explain the situations of all your sins. Like priests, oftentimes if it's a Saturday morning, they don't have. Yeah, there's a lineup, but I will just start listing it off, not explaining my sins. I'll just say, I did this, I was impatient here, I was prideful, I gossiped, whatever it is. Like, you just start listing them off. And then if you're not comfortable, you can try to find a church or like where there's a screen, because people are like, oh, the priest might know who I am, and he'll like think bad of me. And that's hard. Like, even for someone, like when I was doing ministry and then going to confession to the priest that I worked for, that was tough. But you don't have to even do that. You can find someone else for now if that's, but yeah. So those are just sort of some things that you can do. And I think it's really important that you do a general confession at least once in your life. And what that is that you go back to your earliest memory. So for me, like the age of reason where you start going to confession is the age of 7 in the Catholic Church. So when you're responsible for sin. So I've gone back and I remembered like just being mean to other people in the neighborhood, or like memories, I asked the Holy Spirit to reveal to me. And I went through my whole life to present moment. And that's where you should make an appointment, because it could take like an hour or so to go through. So don't be afraid to, when you get to that point. And that can come later if you're just kind of going back to confession, if you're not ready for that, to meet with a priest for a longer period of time to really empty out those sins from your whole life.
Now, is that like if you've confessed them already, do you need to do it again? Is that what that is?
You don't need to do it again. No, like once you're forgiven, you're forgiven. But for me, it's like there's a lot of things I didn't go back. I just sort of do the present moment. But I ended up going back to my early part of my life where you try to remember, like, just how were you as a kid? Were you disrespectful? Did you ever confess that? Like, for me, my confession in grade 2 to probably grade to high school was just this I was disrespectful with my parents. I fought with my brothers and sisters. I just kept it. I didn't actually confess anything serious. And I did do serious things because I actually didn't know some of these things were more serious. So just kind of going back just to kind of clear the way. And again, like if you don't know something's a sin, you're not held accountable, but it's still nice to kind of get off your chest. Does that make sense? What are some of your
And too,
thoughts?
I want to say, like there are a lot of times where I go in and I have like the whole list in my head, and I'm like, I'm sure there was one more. I'm sure there was one more. And you but honestly cannot think of what it was. Now that's the key. You have to like honestly, I don't remember what it was. You can say at the end, like, and for all other sins I cannot think of at this time, please forgive me. And so that is a part of it. But next time you go in, you might want to say it, like, kind of to what you are saying. Like, that might be something like, oh, I'll remember. But you are forgiven, but just like that hearing it out loud type of thing, too. So, and I think sometimes, like, I have a friend who she struggled with scrupulosity, which is a sin too. So it's like there is like this balance of like we want to be truly sorry for what we've done, but we also don't want to like have every little thing like hold us back in a sense, you know, too. So I feel like everything Catholicism is like that, where it's like it is a balance. Like, you know, God wants us to be balanced in that way. So scrupulosity is like my friend, for example, she said that she would see like an ant on the ground and she'd step on it. And she instantly was like, I need to go to confession because she stepped on that ant. And she knows she is scrupulous. Like, thankfully, like she was aware, like, okay, like that's, she had to kind of talk herself out of like, I don't need to go to confession for that. It's just the aunt. So there is that too, where it's like you don't want to be scrupulous, but you do want to be truly sorry for what you have done that has hurt God as well.
I'm really glad you brought that up, because I know someone who every time he had a bad thought or an impure thought, that he had to go to confession, and it kind of got to the point where they just were overwhelmed and just sort of like threw it all away. It was just like, forget it, because I can't live up to this. This is, I'm too much of a sinner. It was overwhelming because they were so scrupulous at every single thing that like they just, yeah, they were had to go to confession. So I'm so glad that you brought that up.
You know, and then there's the opposite where it's like, oh, God is so forgiving. Like, it's not a big deal. And yet they're like, you know, doing all these really bad things. And you're like, no, like, it's a balance.
I think that's a really good point too, is living too loosely, where it's like, God will forgive me, I'll just do what I want. But like, yeah, I'm a Christian. You identify as a Christian, but then you live exactly the way that you want. And people, and God loves us where we are, as we've mentioned before. But I think it's really important. Like, the one thing I love about being Catholic is that it does not change with the world. And a lot of people don't like that. And there's a lot of resentment over some of the teachings of the church, especially around like sexuality. And that's a whole other topic. But I'm just saying that just teachings in general that are hard, that a lot of people, like, that's why they leave the Catholic Church, because they want to sort of have permission to live an easier life. And that's a free, you have free will to do so. But I find there's so much freedom. And if there is something in the Catholic Church that you don't agree with, I just want to encourage you to like research it. So for example, I did not understand contraception and why that was wrong in the Catholic faith when I was in high school. I didn't fully understand. I was told that you don't contracept, but like, why? So I did research, and I started looking up, and I found the document on it called Humanae Vitae by Pope John Paul VI. Now, there's lots of explanations, and when I started, and I'm not going to go into the details of it all, I started to read the beauty of sexuality and our bodies, and like, and why the respect, the dignity of women, or whatever it was, like, it was actually so opposite of what I thought, that I am like 100% believing in. Is that an easy way to live? No, but following the Lord is the narrow way. And but if there is something, just look it up before you just like say this is stupid, or this is so archaic and so old-fashioned, and get with the world, Catholic Church. It's actually like God's truth never changes, and it all makes sense. It's beautiful once you understand. But you hate what you don't understand. But when you understand it, it makes sense. So I just want to encourage you, if there's a teaching that you don't agree with, look, like, oh, be open-minded, go to Catholic Answers, look it up, read some things about it. And it changed my mind on a lot of things. It really did. And it makes sense to me.
Yeah, because the church isn't just throwing out random things, you know, to make our lives miserable. It is truly to get us closer to God. That is the goal of the Catholic faith, and why, you know, Jesus gave the keys to the kingdom to Peter, you know, and all the popes, is because their goal is to get our soul to heaven. I love the church because it's like over 2,000 years of like just people diving deep into what the Holy Spirit, what God wants from us. You know, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's all there, and there's good reason, and they explain it so well too. You were talking about Padre Pio, the story of Padre Pio. Do you want to share that with everybody?
Sure. So Padre Pio is a Catholic saint. Those of you who don't know, he had the wounds of Christ right till his death. So he had the wounds in his hands, his feet, his side, and I had the gift of reading souls. He could be in two places at one time. Very, very profound. My favorite male saint. Check him out. He's amazing. But so people would come from all over the world to go to confession with him, and he would hear confessions between 16 hours and 20 hours a day. And so he would read people's soul, not to humiliate, be like, oh, did you forget this? It was to bring it out in order to really repair and like get rid of the sin, so the person can have freedom and become holy. So there was a story where this woman came to see him, and she was confessed her sin, and he knew all of her soul and her sins. And he said, is there anything else? And she said, no, I don't think so. And he's like, okay, I'm going to ask you to leave here and to go climb this mountain or this hill, or go up to this hill and pray, and then come back and see me. And she came back, and he said, do you remember your what you're holding back? And she's like, no. So he sent her again. Anyway, she came back, and she said, what about that abortion that you had? And he told her when it happened, and he said he was going to be a priest. And it was like, whoa. But he brought that out in her, because she kind of buried that so deep. It wasn't to humiliate her. He loved her enough to tell her the truth, to confess that, so that she had freedom and wholeness and got healing for it. And also so she could fully repent and know the gravity of it, but only to bring her closer to Christ. And that was like a life-changing moment for her. So don't be afraid. Like sometimes we want to hold back the most embarrassing sin. And oftentimes it's usually the sexual sins that people don't want to say. But that's what the priests hear the most. Like the number one addiction in the world is pornography. Say it, you know, like don't keep that. And that will give you the grace of the habitual sin to break that addiction. Because sometimes you might need counseling. You actually, the confessional is for spiritual direction, but some of these wounds may be deeper that you might need some healing from professionally and hopefully with a good Christian Catholic counselor. I wouldn't just go to anyone because some people would say, oh, that's fine. So you have to be really careful who you see. But also confession. A lot of people have, for example, unconfessed sins that have weighed on them for years. And what has happened is they get depression, they get anxiety, they get all these things. Oftentimes they just need a good confession. There has been times, that doesn't mean that mental illness is not real, but there has been people who have carried deep, deep guilt for years and have gone to confession and depression is lifted, anxiety is lifted. Now, yes, there's people who need medication the rest of their life and counseling and there's mental health, but sometimes that's all people need is to rid themselves of this guilt of this that they've been carrying these secrets. So this is the sacrament of healing. It's so good, you guys. It is.
The other part of confession is we have to forgive ourselves too. Sometimes I think people think, oh, that wasn't a good enough confession. Like it's never enough. But then you're not trusting in God's mercy because God is so merciful. He doesn't want you to carry that forever. He wants you to be sorry for it and not do it again. But he loves us so much. He doesn't want us to carry that burden. And a lot of people make the mistake of, I can never be forgiven for this. And they go to confession, they confess it, and they confess it again in another time for the same sin that they've already confessed. And that's not good either. God does not want you to hold on to that after confession. Like he wants you to release it and move forward with your life. We need to truly believe in God's mercy and that that has taken place and move forward.
And I think sometimes when you can find yourself confessing the same sin over and over because you feel like, am I forgiven? I feel so guilty about that. That's where I think that's where counseling comes in. Because I think you need deeper healing outside of the confessional because God has already forgiven you. Now you need more work on forgiving yourself and knowing that God is merciful and believing it. So there's sort of some work to be done separately from confession. But if,
Right,
like,
because Satan does want you to like keep holding on to that sin, because that is like how he can get to people as well, is by keep holding on to it. So,
oh, it's so true. And he's so awful because what he does is he entices us to do it. He shines up sin because sin, let's be honest, it's quite fun. Like, or we wouldn't do it. So oftentimes some of these sins are great times, but what he does is he lures us in with this like false like excitement. And then as soon as you do it, he condemns you and says, you are your sin. That is never the voice of God. That's not the voice of the Catholic Church. You are not your sin. Sin is something that we've done, but it's not who it doesn't define you, doesn't define us. So he does want it to keep you down with your guilt, with your shame, with your like that is not God. That is not the church. So no matter what you've been told about that, that's not who the Catholic Church is, or that God is so good. And so if you're hearing those lies and you can't forgive yourself, that is the voice of the devil. He wants you to stay down, as you're saying, Heather. It's true. The other thing too, Heather, do you want to share about like your experience with like sometimes you may go to a priest who is not so pastoral and gentle, and maybe you can share like what do you do in that situation when you run into a priest who's kind of harsh?
Yeah, and so I do want to say like there are priests who people have gone to confession and the priest was not very gracious or kind about it and they never went back to confession. And I want to share this story with you because I want you to know that it's okay, like you can still move forward. But pretty much I went to confession. This was like in my mid-20s and I go to confession regularly and stuff and it was at a new parish and the priest was like known for being like kind of a mean old man type of thing. So, and my friends had told me like, oh, he's kind of hard to go to confession to and stuff. So I kind of knew, but I went in and I said my sins and I said one of my sins was I'm sorry that I don't trust Jesus. And he stops me and he goes, since when is that a sin? Where's that in the Bible? In the Ten Commandments. And I said, well, Father, I know that it hurts God when I don't trust him. So I know that that hurts him, and that's why I'm here. I'm confessing things that would hurt him. And he's like, okay, what's the next one? You know, and he was just like, but I'm like, thankfully, I know, but if that was the first time I went to confession, I don't know if I'd ever go back. You know, like I would just be like, okay, this is not for me. If that has happened, I'm so sorry. Priests are human too, and you know, most are very gifted in that area. Like, out of all the confessions, I've been to so many different priests, different confessions. There's maybe been two like that, you know, where I'm like, okay, I'm glad I know what this is really like. And it's supposed to be very forgiving, very merciful. So if you have had an experience where the priest is not kind and loving about it, I am so sorry. And I encourage you to go maybe to a different priest or something, but please don't let that stop you from going to confession because it is so good and so healing. And the majority of them are so good about it. I just wanted to say that so that please don't give up on that because it's such a beautiful sacrament in the Catholic faith.
And I was going to say, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater because it's true. Just know that you're still forgiven. Just a few weeks ago, I went to a priest and I was telling this too to Heather before we started. And started to list off my sins. He's like, oh, whoa, we're just going to go one at a time here. And so as I was saying things, he's like, well, how would you like if someone did that to you? And it was sort of like, again, if I didn't, I was like, whoa. I just like prayed for humility in that moment because I was like, okay, I want to sort of get defensive, like, well, that's why I'm here, Padre, you know? But it was like what you were saying, but you already feel bad and it just feels like, oh, wow. But oftentimes, the one thing I love and I want everyone to experience is that there's been so many times, and I try to go face to face now because, the direction you get afterwards, like some priests are so gifted, and not all the time, some people will just kind of move you forward if there's a big lineup, but there's times where priests will sit with you and say, you know, they'll acknowledge like, wow, like, you know, you made a really good confession. Like, it sounds like you're really struggling in this area. There's a really good book, or ask Saint Joseph, or they'll give you spiritual direction and guidance. Or they'll even, I've had priests say, like, why don't you make an appointment and come talk to me more about that when I have more time? And I'm like, oh, wow. You know, so I feel so heard and seen. Especially when a priest does have time, and they don't always. So don't be offended by that if you share something big and they just sort of move on quickly, especially if it's there's a long lineup, it's not quite the time to share your story. The other thing is that exorcists, priests, or so priests who get rid of like who are used by God, who are trained specifically to get rid of demons and stuff in people's lives. And it's not always possession. It could be like oppression, where like demons are sort of like, irritating somebody. That's a whole other topic as well. But they say one good confession is worth 100 exorcisms. And it's like a mini exorcism every time you go to confession. And what that means is if you have serious sin in your life, it's a portal. We know that word a lot now. It's a portal for demons to enter. So if you have serious sin that's unconfessed, that's where like Satan can really get in there and do a lot of havoc in your life. And so when you confess these serious sin, it closes the door. So demons and cannot enter. So do yourself a favor and confess, like it's such a gift to you. So I just want to say that as well.
And yeah, to go with that, like Satan doesn't want you to go to confession too. Like that's like anything that's good and of God, he doesn't want you to do it. So if you're like, no, I don't want to, maybe that means that you probably should. And if you're on the fence about it, you just go. Like I've heard Pope John the Paul II went to confession, was it daily or weekly? But regularly, very regular. And it's not that he had all these sins problem, I'm guessing, but it was more like he knew he didn't want the attachment of even the little sins because he wanted the grace to be within him. And for us to have grace, we do need to be pure. We need to have that purity within us through confession and, you know, baptism and all of that. So you can't go to confession to a priest unless you're Catholic and you go through RCIA and all of that. But I feel like it's so worth it because it's such a beautiful gift that we have in the Catholic faith.
You know, I don't want people to be offended. It's just that we like when you love something so much, and we like with the Eucharist and receiving Jesus in true form, and you have the sacraments, it's like, you know, you want to share that excitement and joy with people to have that too. You know, that's the heart of the message. And you know, everyone has to do their journey, but It's just an invitation to kind of look into it a little bit more of I don't think a lot of people even know either that there was no Bible until almost 400 years after Christ. And it was the Catholic Church, it was Saint Jerome who put the Bible together. And so we didn't have the Bible, we had tradition, and we had oral tradition, and things were passed on, but we didn't have a print shop and no one had a Bible. And the reason why it was chained to a pulpit is because you had it was handwritten, and no one wanted it to be stolen because that's where the scripture was. Yeah, it wasn't until much later on that there was a print shop and people had their own Bible. So it's not like you could just rely on the word because it wasn't there. I just wanted to kind of point that out as well. I don't think a lot of people just know that knowledge. Just in sort of closing, I don't know if there's anything else. I just want to encourage you to maybe during this Lent to do an honest look at yourself. Again, not to humiliate. When you were saying about Pope John Paul II, it made me think of Saint Teresa of Avila. She often said, and it's interesting how this goes, and I'll say that it's true. Like when you're first kind of getting to know the Lord, or you don't really know the Lord that well, it's like a white garment from a distance. If there's stains on it, you can't really see it, you know? So it's like it looks clean and perfect because it's far away. But as you get closer to God, you start to see your more imperfections. And it's not as like to pound yourself down and say, oh, I'm so terrible. It's actually like the Lord is like, He wants to work on to be perfect, like he's perfect. So you start to see yourself. And sometimes, like I know for me, it's been tough because I'm like, oh, I just sort of gave generally, like I just thought, oh, I was impatient. But there's little details now that I'm starting to see, like the Lord's calling me deeper. So as you get closer to God, you actually see more of who you are and who you aren't. And it's a good thing. Like I'd love it, but it's like it's humbling in the best way, not humiliating, right?
In a very good way.
So, but be not afraid. Take and the one thing if you have something really serious or embarrassing or sexual sin that you're scared to say, just say it first. Just get it out of the way and have your little list. They don't and just keep going and it will help you. And then maybe bring in if you're not sure. Most confessionals have it, like act of contrition is a prayer that you say at the end. You may want to just have that. And if not, they'll walk you through it. So don't hold back. Say it all. Get it off your chest. Be confident in His mercy.
Feel free to, if you want, like I go behind the screen just because then I can focus more. I'm not like worried about the priest, like how he's looking or you know what I mean, which is fine. Either way is fine. Whatever helps you to give a good confession.
And ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you, to give you the what to go into what you need to do. And it will go well. But we continue to wish you a really beautiful Lenten journey, and pray for us, and we continue to pray for you. And yeah, we're on the journey with you. Like when we share these are things that we're working on ourselves. This is not coming from a place of we've arrived and now are sharing our wisdom with you because we're perfect and we need to help the world. It's like this is a journey that we're on too. And we have our own weaknesses and faults and vices and that we're working through. And so even us doing these, like every time we meet for a podcast, like I'm growing in my faith and ch being challenged myself. And also the very last thing, the second last thing is that we're still kind of figuring out where this podcast is going to go. So bear with us. We're just sort of praying right now, where the Lord wants to take us. And so it may go in different directions. We're just sort of moving the car and the Lord is in the steering wheel. So we're just sort of praying about how this is all going to unfold. So it may look different from week to week on what we're called to do, but eventually we'll sort of get kind of the message of where we're supposed to go. But for right now, we're just sort of taking it as it comes and just seeing where God leads us. So just want to let you know that it could be different content.
All right, before we go, let's share our one more thing with everybody. Do you want to go first, Nicole?
Sure. So my favorite thing this week was The Chosen. So I'm sure many of you have seen The Chosen. If you haven't, I would really recommend that you check it out. I think I watched the first three seasons, and then it's been like months. And then just yesterday, I watched two episodes with my husband, and it's just a great way to not just to have mindless TV on at night. It was just sort of a nice way to relax and watch something about Christ. They obviously take some liberations. Not everything is exactly from the Bible, and there's some like I wouldn't agree with everything theologically per se, but overall, it's a very, very good show. And like solid, like in the sense of like it's not fluffy content. And Jonathan Rumi, he's a really devout Catholic who plays Jesus. But I just think it's really good. So if you're looking for something to watch, I'd watch The Chosen.
Okay, my thing that I was going to share is my miraculous medal. I It's not necessarily this week, but I love my Miraculous Metal, and I've done a couple of videos over on YouTube about the Miraculous Metal, and I just encourage you. The thing that I love most about the Miraculous Metal is that it is like Mary giving you a hug. Like you're in her mantle. She's, you're protected. And I cannot tell you, I feel that way when I have the Miraculous Medal. It used to have a different name, but they changed it because there were so many miracles that happened through the Miraculous Medal. So anyway, so that's my favorite. My one more thing is just if you don't have a Miraculous Medal, please get one and share it with all your children, your family, because miracles do happen and conversion happens and stuff. We could do a whole video actually on that. It's so awesome. Anyway, that's my one more thing. Thank you so much for joining us today. And until next time, we'll see you all later. God bless. Bye.